Talk. Lessons from the Second Chapter of Philippians. Tacoma Park, Maryland, May 13, 1905. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians 2, verse 1, 2. I address those who have the light of the knowledge of Bible truth. Are you obeying the instruction given in the words I have read? Are you of one mind and one heart in Christ? There are many points that might be dwelt upon, but there is one that I wish to speak about especially. It is regarding the necessity of our working together in unity. 1 year ago, I visited this ground. It was then a wilderness. You can all see what God has enabled the workers to accomplish because they were of one mind. Every one has done all in his power to lift. And our people in the different states have sent in their gifts for the establishment of the work in Washington. I well remember how, when we were living in Carroll House, near the water tower, the young men working on the school land would meet together in a large room in this house at 5:30 every morning for family worship. As we worshiped God together, we knew that the Holy Spirit was among us. We sought the Lord with the whole heart, and He came very near to us. We presented the promise, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 7, verse 7. Is not this assurance strong enough? We took this promise with us into the place of prayer, asking the Lord to lead and direct in the work to be done here. Only 1 year has passed since then, and much has been accomplished. If there are any of you who have weak faith, remember that it is because you do not work on the affirmative side. It is of no use for us to think that we can carry forward the glorious work of God without strong, unfaltering faith. The world is fast becoming as it was in the days of Noah. Satan is working with intensity of effort, knowing that he has but a short time. Wickedness prevails to an appalling extent. God's people are but a handful compared with the ungodly, and we can gain success only as we cooperate with the heavenly angels, who will go before all who press forward to do that which God has said should be done. I thank the Lord for the privilege of speaking to so many at this meeting. When I think of all that God has done for us, I say, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." As the work is opened up in the various places, may we ever remember that we are to draw in even cords. Those who have educated themselves to stand on the negative side should without delay repent and be converted. Let this conversion take place right on this ground. Remember that when you stand on the negative side, accusing and condemning, you make room for the agencies of the power of darkness. Precious time has to be spent in waging war against these agencies, because there were those who refused to stand on the affirmative side. Is it not best to be in harmony with the God of heaven? When you see your brethren striving to press the battle to the gates, is it not best to say, "Advance, advance"? Carry the work forward with greater power than ever before. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Philippians 2, verse 3. Satan is behind all strife and vainglory. Let us get out of his company and stand with those who say, "Victory is for us, and we will cling to the arm of infinite power." In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 3. If we would obey these words, we should find our work easier. We should find that we could accomplish very much more than we can when hindered by strife and discord. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 4. Do not try to gain every advantage for yourself. I thank God for the evidence that our people are unselfishly trying to help in the establishment of the work in Washington. I am thankful that the school buildings are so nearly completed, and that we now have an institution in this place in which students may be trained for service. I pray that from this school your men and young women may be prepared to go forth into the world as successful, consecrated missionaries. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Verses 5-8.
Laying aside his royal robe and kingly crown, Christ clothed his divinity with humanity, that human beings might be raised from their degradation and placed on vantage ground. Christ could not have come to this earth with the glory that he had in the heavenly courts. Sinful human beings could not have borne the sight. He veiled his humanity with the garb of humanity. He did not part with his divinity. A divine human Savior, he came to stand at the head of the fallen race, to share in their experience from childhood to manhood. That human beings might be partakers of the divine nature, he came to this earth and lived a life of perfect obedience. There is no need for the world to be as it is today, filled with war and bloodshed, violence and crime. Christ has made provision for the salvation of every soul. He gave his life for the life of the world. And John declares, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." John 1, verse 12. This is the gift of heaven to all who truly believe. In view of these things, how can men and women choose to receive the Father of lies and cherish his Spirit? It is because human beings have chosen to listen to the tempter that we see men and women partaking of that which robs them of their reason. In our large cities, there are saloons on the right hand and on the left, tempting passers-by to indulge an appetite which, once established, is exceedingly hard to overcome. The youth should be trained never to touch tobacco or alcoholic drink. Alcohol robs men of their reasoning powers. Watch that man entering the saloon. His eye is bright and his step steady. Watch him as he comes out. The brightness has gone from his eye, and as he walks, he staggers from side to side. He is drunk, a specimen of the work done by the saloon. The home of a drunkard tells the sad story of the evil wrought by the use of strong drink. Wretchedness and destitution reign, and often the wife and children suffer from cold and hunger. And yet, the liquor traffic is legalized. Heaven sees it all. God keeps a record of the men robbed of their reason and the homes made wretched by the use of alcohol. In that great day when every man will be judged according to the deeds done in the body, what will those who have legalized the liquor traffic say in excuse for allowing these places of death to be kept open? God grant that we may be wide awake to this awful evil. May he help us to labor with all our power to save men and women and youth from this effort of the enemy to ensnare them. We do not take into the church those who use liquor or tobacco. We cannot admit such ones. But we can try to help them to overcome. We can tell them that by giving up these harmful practices, they will make their families and themselves happier. Those whose hearts are filled with the Spirit of God will feel no need for stimulants. He is high and lifted up, and his train fills the heavens. See Isaiah 6, verse 1. Those who are overcomers here will one day see him as he is, for we read, "We know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." 1 John 3, verse 2. They will sing the song of redemption in the heavenly courts. Here in this world, we are to gain a preparation for the life in the kingdom of God. Our youth must be trained to habits of strict temperance and self-denial. May God help us to stand in unity, warring against the powers of darkness that are pressing in on every side. Christ has done everything in his power to redeem human beings. In our behalf, he made an infinite sacrifice. For our sake, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Enduring riches, an eternal weight of glory, is the boon he offers to those who will accept him. Is it not a sufficient inducement? Will man strive against his Maker? May God help us at this meeting to be converted. You may say, if we are church members, that does not belong to us. But does it not? What are you doing to lift up those who are fallen? There ought to be 1,000 where now there is but one trying to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We have great light. Ye are the light of the world, Christ declared. Matthew 5, verse 14. It is by letting our light shine that we are to glorify God. Clear and distinct, the light of present truth is to shine forth from God's people, piercing the darkness that envelopes the world.
It is that light may shine forth that we are establishing institutions here. The school buildings are almost finished, and soon a sanitarium must be erected, to which we may bring the sick and afflicted and tell them of Christ and his power to save. We should every one stand where we can uplift and bless. We are to speak words that will comfort and encourage. Brethren and sisters, train yourselves to speak in pleasant, agreeable tones. It does no harm, but good, to speak kindly. But to speak discourteously and roughly drives the holy angels away in sadness. May God help us all to take a right position. May he help us not to spoil our lives and the lives of others by being unconsecrated. May he help us to conquer the inclination to follow the impulses of the unsanctified heart. We cannot afford to follow these impulses. We are to be judged according to the deeds done in the body. Being found in fashion as a man, Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2, verse 8 to 11. We are to confess Christ before the world because he gave his life for us. He died that we might receive strength to stand against the temptations by which we shall be beset. Those who receive Christ are made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ to an immortal inheritance. We have only a little while in which to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have not a moment to lose. We need to begin at once to gain a preparation to enter the courts above. God will help all who will help themselves. But if you sit down under Satan's shadow and let him tempt you to look on the objectionable side and to weaken the hands of those who are trying to carry forward the work of the Lord, how can you hope to gain the victory over temptation? You cannot be a joint heir with Christ unless you have his Spirit and are determined to gain heaven at any cost. Those who, regardless of all else, place themselves in God's hands to be and do all that he would have them, will see the King in his beauty. They will behold his matchless charms, and touching their golden harps, they will fill all heaven with songs to the Lamb. I am glad to hear the musical instruments that you have here. God wants us to have them. He wants us to praise him with heart and soul and voice, magnifying his name before the world. I thank God that there are those here who have had an experience in self-denial and sacrifice. They know what it means to be counted fools for Christ's sake. But in heaven, their names are recorded as those who love God and keep his commandments. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of God, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verses 12 to 16. God would have us help one another to be of good cheer. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. By beholding, you will be changed into the same likeness from character to character. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Verses 17, 18. God wants you to praise him far more than you do. Read the Psalms, and you will see that by offering praise, you glorify God. Educate the voice to offer him thanksgiving. Thus you will bring strength and courage to those around you. I pray that at the very beginning of this meeting, the salvation of God may be revealed. Brethren and sisters, open the door of the heart and let the Savior in. Then you will praise God with heart and soul and voice. I thank God that it is our privilege to use our voices in his service, to speak words in season to those that are weary. While on my way to this meeting, I had the privilege of speaking to some of the Savior's love. I asked one young man to give up the use of tobacco. "I cannot," he said. "It is so soothing." "But," I said, "it is robbing you of your sense of right and wrong. You say that you are teaching in a Sunday school. What influence do you think your example of smoking has on the members of your class?" Before we left the car, he came to me and told me that I must not be surprised to hear that he had given up the use of tobacco.
I gave this young man a copy of Steps to Christ, and he seemed much pleased with it. God wants us to work for humanity. We have an onward work to do. Let us put on the whole armor of righteousness, revealing Christ in thought, word, and deed. Let us remember that we are laborers together with God. Brethren and sisters, let self be crucified, and let Christ live in you, the hope of glory. Keep reaching forward. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The work of righteousness is to be wrought in you through the mighty power that God has given. When in weakness and feebleness you say, "Lord, I lay hold upon thee," power from above will be given you. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. What were the words spoken as you took part in the solemn rite of baptism? "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28, verse 19. You were buried with Christ in baptism and raised to newness of life. And the three great powers of heaven pledged themselves to cooperate with you in your efforts to live the new life in Christ. Then should we not praise him with every breath? Let us cast aside all murmuring and repining and be filled with the spirit of praise. Let us draw in even chords with Christ. He is coming soon, and we must be ready to meet him in peace. Let us repent and be converted. Let us place ourselves on the altar of service. I beg of you, my brethren and sisters, to bring Christ into your hearts and into these meetings. Then there will be rejoicing such as you have never before heard, and you will be gaining a fitness for the heavenly home, where God's redeemed ones will sing the song of victory.